T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Is there window closing? Possibly with these two guys, but here's the thing. He's an asset one way or another. So if Jaylen Brown isn't in a Celtics uniform, he's not walking out the door without compensation. Right? He'll be moved, and they're going to get back incredibly valuable assets, and they have a top five player in the NBA on their roster. So that window isn't closing in terms of the Celtics competing for a title. We'll see what happens going forward with these two guys.
Tim Legler on Get Up, discussing the window for the Celtics. Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, how much longer those two will stay together. We've talked about it a lot this week here on Jones and Mego with Arkan.
And we're going to talk about it some more.
We are.
You have to put him in the bag of assets that you're willing to discuss.
That's Mike Milbury discussing Swayman, right?
Oh, yeah, probably.
Bag of asses is how Will Milbury referred to it. Not very nice.
Got a nice bag of asses there, Sway.
We'll get to your phone call, 617-779-7937. We've talked Bruins and Patriots thus far. We'll get to the Red Sox coming up. I did want to discuss Jaylen Brown again. Because that discussion about Jaylen Brown, like I think he's gone. I'm not sure there's anything short of a title you can do to convince him to stay. And I know Arkan has even suggested, even if they win, that might be his opportunity to say, I'm not quitting on Boston. I accomplished what I set out to do in Boston, and now I'm leaving. So Arkan doesn't even subscribe to that. But I think if they win, that's their one real chance to keep him. So can this team flip the switch, Mego? Like, can this team lock in, flip the switch? I know some, you, were at least a little bit encouraged by the Kings' win the other night.
Slightly.
Yeah, right. I mean, just it was a step in the right direction. You're not saying they're back or anything like that. That was Forsberg to Skell. You know, you're not saying they're back, but just you were maybe a little more encouraged by it than I was, where I'm like, just some threes went in for them. Like, I didn't learn anything in that game. Can they flip the switch? And do you agree that's the only way to keep Jaylen?
I don't even know if it's like flipping the switch as if they had to get their focus together, because they have looked bored. They have looked like they're waiting for the playoffs to start since essentially January.
And that's what Pierce called
it out
on the other day.
Yeah, they look bored. But I feel like it's more them all deciding to row in the same direction, you know? Because right now it feels like, and I kind of hate this cliche in the NBA, but it with this team in particular, it feels like a couple guys are just individually focused on Jaylen.
Thank
on
you.
His contract situation,
okay,
which is
you.
Fair,
yeah.
Absolutely fair to say. And then, of course, Grant Williams, who's in a contract year and trying to figure out his place on this team, which I think is being exasperated by the strange rotations that we saw Mazzulla doing for like about a month there, where Grant was not playing in a couple
Blake Griffin
games.
Was playing over him, yeah.
Exactly. And I think that that's just extremely counterproductive to a team that's trying to get back to the finals and win the finals, but first get back to the finals. One thing that Ime Udoka was so good at was galvanizing this team towards one mission, getting them focused, saying, even just as simple as going, you know what? Everything is about our defense right now. We're going to be the best defensive team in the league last year. We're going to make Marcus Smart the best defender by everyone else's accounts. And that's going to be who we are, and the other stuff will fall into place because we're going to be so hyper-focused on that. I'm not sure that Joe Mazzulla has a message as compelling like that to the team in we're going to jack up as many threes
right.
as possible in this league. If that's the identity, I don't love that identity. But honestly, it's not even about flipping the switch. It's about all being in this on the same page.
Arkan, can they flip it?
I think against certain teams they can. I don't think that they can do it whenever they want. I don't think they're that good.
That's
that they
what I
can
mean.
Just...
Can they lock in and go win a championship? I mean, if we're defining flipping the switch, that's what I mean.
Win switch.
I think they can get hot. I think they can get hot in the playoffs. I mean, yeah, they're absolutely capable of getting hot. I don't know if they can control it all the time. And, you know, just whenever Jaylen Brown says the energy's about to shift, they go off and win 20 games.
Well, isn't
I was encouraged by him saying that.
Isn't that what this conversation is about, though? Like, can they control their own destiny? Can they control the way that they play?
Like, they're as talented as anybody in the league.
Yeah.
So they should be able to do it. And to answer my own question, no. I don't think they can flip the switch. I don't think they're winning a championship. I don't want to say I don't think they can win a championship because their talent, they clearly can. But I don't think they're going to. I don't think they're going to flip the switch and lock in. No. No. Based on what? Based on what evidence over months and months and months, going back to December? Like, throw out October and November, 18-4, 21-5. Throw it out. That's eons ago. That's not relevant to how they're playing now and how they've been playing.
Honestly, and I'm sorry, this is very negative, but the October and November games, isn't that more of a hangover of the team you were the year before in a good way? Like, isn't that more remnants of the team, caliber team you were the year before than indicative of who this team has become the rest of the season?
I think the way they started hurt them.
Very negative.
I think the way they started hurt them. That was negative, Mego, but I enjoyed it. Like, the way they started hurt them. Like, if you come out 18-4, you think you can just roll the basketballs out and beat everybody. And then once people started standing up to them, they can't. They can't do that. So, no, they can't flip the switch.
That's very mean.
What?
The text lines. 607 says, talking about Udoka is like talking about Babe Ruth. You know me. I hate Babe Ruth talk.
No, you do. I learned that the other day. You do not enjoy Babe Ruth talk. He or she says they're both gone. So it's the same. 617-779-7937. Can they flip the switch? And is that the only way to keep Jaylen Brown? You guys can weigh in on that. I want to hear from Woj. This was Woj on Get Up on Jaylen Brown and his recent comments and where the Celtics stand with him. And just, you know, Woj is as plugged in as they get.
I don't think Jaylen Brown was happy that he was involved in trade discussions with the Nets last summer with Kevin Durant. But I think Boston knows, I think with Jaylen Brown, with Jason Tatum, you have to treat every year as though this is your best chance to win one, and then win another, because as talented as Boston is, probably the deepest roster in the league, this is a year-to-year proposition in the NBA. With a new collective bargaining agreement and the ability to do a richer percentage of your contract as an extension, he could get more money than might be available right now under the CBA. But I think for Boston, they understand the urgency of winning now. And I think with Jaylen Brown, listen, he is a thoughtful individual. And not every player is going to give up his leverage when he talks publicly about it. I didn't think the comment was that incendiary. I thought it was, he left it open-ended.
Yeah, I believe they're responding to his comments the other day after the Utah game. That wasn't incendiary. Some of the stuff he said in the New York Times and in The Ringer, I thought was a little more eye-opening to me. But Woj says there needs to be urgency to keep Jaylen Brown. I agree. There has to be urgency. You better win, because you could sign him and he could force his way out. I agree with Woj on that. Scal told us that the other day when we talked to Scal earlier in the week. He could sign that Supermax if he even gets it, which, by the way, have we just assumed too much he's going to be all NBA and get Supermax? Like, have we given enough thought? This is something I want to ask Scal next week. And I think we're talking to him on Tuesday.
Scal,
is that right?
Said he had Tuesday. He had Brown in the range of like 12th to 18th,
right,
or something, right?
So, like, yeah. But we should ask Scal, because Scal's whole point right now is that he's in a contract drive. So, number one, what does not getting the contract do for him being in this contract push? Like, what does that do psychologically if he doesn't finish? Never mind if your whole answer is, well, the Celtics are going to keep him because they can pay him more with the Supermax. If that's the whole thought process, well, then he better be all NBA and he better be getting the Supermax. That's a whole nother piece to this that he may not be getting, that maybe has been under discussed and we should talk to Scal about next week. And I'm sure he'll be thrilled to be asked about it. But when it comes to...
Yes.
When it comes to this team and how they're playing, they do not have a big window. I love that Woj said that. They don't. No team in the NBA has a big window. It is year to year, which is why you should maximize it, which is why I'm still pissed about the deadline. And I'm still not sure who to be pissed at, Brad or Wick, maybe both. I'm still pissed about the deadline. This is your window. This is how you maximize it. And I feel like they didn't do enough. So throw that on the pile as well, Mego.
So just a little bit of dollars and cents here, because you brought up if he doesn't make the Supermax,
yes.
And
I think Scal said it was a difference of $45 million.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Woj mentioned it at the end of this clip. I'm not going to get into the very specifics, but the collective bargaining agreement right now is trying to figure out if you can offer a bigger extension to a player who's currently on your team if they don't make the Supermax. And it's kind of a scenario where, or it is a scenario where it directly
impacts
would affect
Jaylen
Brown, where, okay, if he doesn't make All-NBA, and I think he's a bubble All-NBA guy. Like, I really feel like he's right on the bubble.
Yeah, he's got to be a top, right? To be All-NBA, he's got to be a top six guard?
Yeah, I think he's right on the bubble there, and he should go in as guard because that's mostly what he's been this
definitely
year.
Definitely what he is, yeah.
And, so if he doesn't make the All-NBA team and he doesn't get the Supermax extension, because of the way that the CBA is being negotiated right now, the Celtics could still offer him a much bigger extension than what they can offer him under the rules right now. But that negotiation is going through, like, as we speak.
Okay, let's do this quick. Ready for All-NBA? Everybody weigh in here. This is on the fly. I hadn't really thought about this. Doncic or Jaylen Brown for All-NBA, Mego?
Doncic or Jaylen Brown?
Yes.
Doncic.
Okay, Doncic. Arcan?
Luka. Yeah.
Okay, that's three check marks for Luka. Lillard or Jaylen Brown?
Lillard.
Lillard, that's another.
Yes, 71-point game.
SGA, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, or Jaylen Brown? All-NBA.
SGA.
I might take Brown over him.
Okay, SGA, you lose, Arkent. Let's see, Donovan Mitchell.
You lose, Arkent.
Oh, that's 2-1.
Donovan Mitchell or Jaylen Brown?
Mitchell.
Brown.
Arkent, why is he being so peeing in the pool here on this? You lose again, Arkent. Mitchell.
Okay.
Wow.
Kyrie or Brown?
Oh, come on, Brown.
I'll take Jaylen, too.
Okay, that one's a clean sweep. What's the delay back here, Arkan? Just answer the question. Ja or Jaylen Brown?
I'll take Jaylen.
It's going to be Jaylen now.
So I agree. That one, if you would have asked me like a month ago, I'd be like, Ja Morant, duh. Okay, so Irving and Ja, that's good. Trey Young or Jaylen Brown?
Jaylen Brown.
Jaylen.
Okay. Jaylen, clean sweep there. De'Aaron Fox or Jaylen Brown?
Jaylen Brown, sorry, Ryan.
Brown.
Okay, I'm Fox on that one, but I
feel like
I lose.
At this point now we're putting Jaylen in.
That one I lose on. That was a big one, because I think now he's probably, like, Jalen Brunson?
No. Come on.
Okay, well, maybe he's in. Zach LaVine. I'm trying to look at other guards. Yeah, he's probably in. I mean, he's on the cusp anyway. I would put De'Aaron Fox over him, but I think I'd still have him six just after that quick exercise, so that is a big difference. That's a big difference in terms of him getting paid.
So, it looks like Supermax for Jaylen.
Well, maybe, but I'm saying if he doesn't get it, then the whole idea that you could just give him the Supermax and that's why he'll stay, that's blown up.
That's true.
That's completely blown
up. What's weird is how Woj
Am I missing another obvious guard? Am I missing somebody? Like, let me know if I am. 617-779-7937. You can text at 37937. I mean, those are what look like the big guards, but maybe I'm missing somebody.
Did you say Steph?
Ooh, I didn't say Steph.
Steph just popped into my mind.
Sorry, I didn't say Steph. Good one. Missed it. Steph or Jaylen?
Steph.
Steph, but that still keeps Jaylen in there.
Not on my team. I have Fox on there.
Okay. Well,
Overall, we have. But it proves the point that he's right on the cusp. If it comes down to him versus Fox, then he might be on the outside looking in. Or maybe somebody goes with Trae Young over him. Or maybe somebody goes Ja. I don't see how you do that these days.
Did you remember Terry Rozier?
I did not.
No.
Okay. So sorry, I missed out on Steph. Maybe he must not be a qualifier. I'm just looking at some of the leading guards in the NBA. Maybe he hasn't played enough games.
I think it's interesting, just real quick, how Woj said leverage, because leverage implies that the team doesn't want to give Brown as much money as they possibly can. Like, the leverage over who? I feel like the team, if they can, they'll give him the Supermax.
It's a good point.
And it doesn't have leverage over the writers, because the writers are going to vote in who they vote in anyway. You don't have any leverage there.
Yes.
So who does he need leverage over?
Right, maybe that implies the Celtics don't want to give him a max deal?
I can't imagine
that. Which is crazy.
True, right?
Like, Mego said this the other day. I'm like, no, all these contracts, they're done. It's just, he's a max player, so he'll get the max. And if he qualifies for the Supermax, he'll get that. Right, what's the haggling? 617-779-7937. I keep promising we'll get to your phone calls. A lot of you waiting patiently on the Celtics. We have a Red Sox call out there as well. I did want to get to the Red Sox. Some interesting payroll numbers came out. Plus, all your Jaylen Brown phone calls right after Trending with Christian Arkin.
A-U-D-A-C-Y. Type that into your app search.
It's so dumb.
Then download.
My brain is melting.
This is Jones and Mego on WEEI.
Does he sound happy? I mean, you've read the stories. Does he sound happy?
I never judge other people's happiness. I don't understand in the NBA why we care so much about other people's happiness. I just don't get it. Do you care about anybody else's happiness in your life? I don't really do that.
And so,
but we have to wait because you still have time for that. There is like a drop dead date when you offer a guy $200 million.
Sure.
And he says no.
Sure.
Then at that point, you guys can flip out, and I can respond to it.
Okay, but you're not.
Until a guy turns down $200 million, I am not like going down the road of, I don't know what he likes. Is he happy? Is this guy? Like, no, you can't do that. Now, I will say this, uh-huh. And these things do happen. Guys do sign extensions, and then they ask to be traded. So I don't know about that, but as far as like leaving in free agency and Boston not getting anything in return, like there's no way at this point that we'd be going down that road.
How's Brian Scalabrine? He joins us every Wednesday at 4:30 here on Jones and Mego with Arcan.
Did you see what a listener suggested we call that?
Yes.
Weekly hit?
Yes, Scalentine's Day.
That's tremendous.
That is brilliant.
Yeah.
That is brilliant.
I wish I thought of that.
That's our pal Gethin, by
Gethin
the way.
Gethin Coolbaugh, which is an amazing name, by
Gethin,
the way.
Gethin suggested Scalentine's Day.
I like it.
We can start. It's a nice way to start the interview, like happy Scalentine's Day.
Yeah.
Stamp of approval.
And maybe that'll, you know, we'll
a little more love flowing in the interview that way.
Started off nicey-nice. But if you miss any part of the show or that interview with Scal each week, you can go back and listen to the podcast anytime by subscribing.
We choose you.
To Jones and Mego with Arcan on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts. So I actually didn't pick up on that until just now re-listening to it. And we played that clip a few different times this week. I'm not worried about them losing him for nothing in free agency. I'm worried about him demanding a trade this offseason and having to take pennies on the dollar. It's why I suggested a Damian Lillard trade earlier this week, which I'm in on. And I suggested, if you're taking pennies on the dollar for Jaylen, I'd be interested in Zion, who might be available. That's a big swing and that's a risk, but when he's right, he might be better than Jaylen. I think the odds of you getting a player better than Jaylen are pretty slim.
I'm sorry, and I know they're not the exact same kind of player, but the Rob Williams experience has been enough for me.
Okay,
for
a player who's
going to play a number of games in the 20s.
Put a percentage on Zion Williamson making it through a season and a playoff run. What percentage do you put on that?
11%
in a playoff run?
Yep.
Yeah.
11? I think 11 might be high.
Yeah. Maybe. I'm like 9%?
Yeah, so I might even have
8%?
The lowest percentage. 5?
Like single percentage.
2?
But what do you define as like making it through? Like he's available for most of the playoff games?
Most of the games, and he's out there in the playoffs when it matters. I mean, when he plays, he's better than Jaylen. Is that a hot take? He's better than Jaylen.
Yeah, he's more talented.
Okay, he's better.
But he's not available ever.
Fine, I'm saying that. I acknowledge that. I get it. But I'm just saying, if Jaylen's demanding his way out, superstars never go for what they're supposed to go for. They never do.
Right.
So you're taking pennies on the dollar. So I think I'd rather take the home run swing than take a bunch of spare parts. Arcan disagrees.
Wait, isn't Zion a superstar?
Yes.
Right? So
yes.
You're getting Jaylen Brown for him. That's getting the pretty good return,
I'd say,
for that.
He's so distressed. It's not comparable.
But one guy's demanding his way out.
Right.
Like, one guy's demanding his way out. Are the Pelicans openly looking to move Zion? I don't know about that.
They should be.
One guy's demanding his way out.
If they can get Jaylen Brown for Zion.
That's the biggest no-brainer in the world for them.
Arcan, in every lopsided trade, one good player has to go. Like,
true.
That has to happen. So,
Zion's a good player, I guess, is my point.
No, sure. Yeah. Zion's a really good player. So,
but he's also like Porzingis, you know what I mean? Like, you know they're good, but they never play. You know, you never see him out
now,
there.
But
you
now,
fall in love with what they could be.
That's a good example. Now Porzingis is playing, by the way, and have you seen what he's doing?
Not really, no.
Monstrous numbers.
Being good?
Now he's on a bad, he's on a bad team.
I've seen a lot of Wizards games.
Okay, but I'm just saying, do you think the Wizards feel bad for trading for him now? No, he's a good player. They stink, but he's good. So, I don't know, if Williamson ever gets that figured out, he's better than Jaylen. By the way, we missed two, so I missed Steph.
Okay,
I don't
but
know,
gets
sorry.
What figured out? Like his entire body type?
Yes.
I mean,
yes.
Really?
Yes.
He is the shape where even if he's like a healthy weight for him or a good athletic weight, I still think there's going to be injuries. Like you can't figure that out.
His knees touch
again,
when he walks.
The idea is
that's
that Jaylen is gone. So now you have to get the most you can for Jaylen. If Jaylen wants to stay, I'm not trading him just to trade him. I might trade Jaylen for Lillard just to do it. I like Lillard.
Can we try to make something work with Jaylen?
Okay, I'm saying if you can, great. What if you can't? I'm worried he's going to demand a trade.
You think it's already past the point of making something work?
I think if they don't win, it's done. That's why I talked about flipping the switch. If they don't win, I don't think they can convince him to stay. That's my fear. So now if he's gone and he wants out, superstars demand out all the time in the NBA. All the time. So what can you get for him? That's what I'm talking about. If he'll stay, of course, I'll keep him over Zion. Why would I roll the dice on an unhealthy Zion Williamson? If he's out, can you do better than Zion? That's really what I'm asking. 617-779-7937. Okay, so we did this earlier. We were talking about Jaylen and making All-NBA. We were a clean sweep on three guards. Doncic, Lillard, and Steph. And I realized the fault in my logic. I was looking at stats, and Steph has not played in enough games. So I missed Steph initially. Doncic, Lillard, Steph. And we were doing this on the fly. If I had prepared this, I would have done a better job. We were a clean sweep. We take those three all over Jaylen. So the best Jaylen can do is fourth when it comes to finishing in the top six for guards. Two on the first team, two on the second team, two on the third team. Mego, we outvoted. We boxed Arcand out.
We did.
On SGA.
Yes.
And Donovan Mitchell.
Yes.
Okay, so that has Jaylen on the fifth spot. In the sixth spot.
In the sixth spot.
I voted personally for De'Aaron Fox, but you guys muscled me out.
Absolutely not.
On De'Aaron Fox. You say absolutely not.
Absolutely
That's
not.
Fine if you're against it, but absolutely not. Is a
Don't
little
throw Halliburton at me either.
So I miss Steph. Okay, Halliburton.
No.
Let's vote. Arcand, let's vote. You love Halliburton. Halliburton
I
over
do.
Jaylen.
No.
Me too.
No.
I'm a no. Okay, good. Good name, though. That's a name I missed. That's a good name to at least bring up. Clay?
No.
Ah.
No.
I'm also a no.
He's having a down year.
His defense is so bad.
I think the only thing I've liked that he's done in like the last year is when Marcus Smart, I almost said fart. When Marcus Smart flopped,
John Dennis.
I was about to say flopped. I almost said Marcus Fart, which I can't believe I hadn't thought of until just now. When he flopped in the finals and Clay just kind of looked at him and then drilled that elbow jumper in his face.
Yes,
like that's like the only thing I like.
Oh, that,
he's
that
done.
Was so cool.
No, that was cool. No, you know what I like was the guy flopping on the other side and trying to draw a call instead of the defensive
so cool.
player playing defense. What he did was flop and just give a wide open shot to one of the best shooters ever. That
Andy
was a good
fart.
Call. One more time,
Dino,
Andy fart.
Boom, roasted.
I've never heard of that before, but that is, how do you come back from that?
I don't know
one?
How Hart ever showed his face around here again after that.
There was a name
the segment was called Heartburn, now it's called
Fartburn.
It's Fartburn now.
There was a guard that got voted to the All-NBA third team last year, and I can't really understand why.
Give it to me.
Based on his numbers, Chris Paul.
Chris Paul, reputation.
14 points, 10 assists.
I hate Chris Paul.
Lands you on the All-NBA third team. And it's a question I kind of rattle around in my head. Does record matter? Because I feel like the only reason you would think Chris Paul is an All-NBA player is because of record.
I don't think,
for these awards, I don't think that it should matter at all.
I don't think for All-NBA it should matter. MVP record should matter.
Absolutely.
I don't think it should matter for All-NBA. Hang on. But here's the most obvious one I missed. And again, he has not played in enough games. And if you want to hold that against Steph, you can. You can also hold it against this player. Devin Booker. Vote. Booker or Jaylen for All-NBA.
I think... That's the bubble right there to me. That's the bubble.
Bubble's not a vote. Need a vote.
No, I know. Booker or Brown. I'm still going with Brown. Brown's having a really good season.
Well, I know Arcand hates Devin Booker.
Yeah, I take Brown there too. Their numbers are basically the same, and Booker's the primary scoring option.
So as a show, we still have Jaylen All-NBA. I think that's crazy. I've already addressed this.
You have Devin in there.
I have Booker and I have Fox. So I actually have Jaylen like eighth when it comes to guards in the NBA, which is still really good. Like, I want him here with the Celtics. But if he's not making All-NBA and he's not going to get his contract and he wants out, then what are you going to do?
Well, let me ask you this.
Ask.
If all the numbers are roughly the same, do you think this media blitz is going to help him get All-NBA? If that's what he's doing it for, do you think that's going to actually help him or not?
It's not going to help him if he's turning around and saying that writers in general
right.
have their own angle. That's something we didn't touch on after the Scal interview.
Mm-hmm.
There's no worse feeling. I mean, there are worse feelings, but it's a really bad feeling when you're a reporter and your source, after the fact, says that you have your own agenda and you misrepresented them.
Yep.
I know there's only a little percentage that's the media vote, but that doesn't really make yourself very beloved by the media.
Well, and here's what hurt him as well, I think, with that argument. There were two stories.
Right.
So they're both misrepresenting you? I mean, maybe that's not impossible, but that's what you're saying? They're both taking everything out of context and misrepresenting
you. The New York Times
you.
Story was basically a Q&A.
Yeah. Yeah, right.
It was basically just written as a Q&A. There were a few paragraphs in between, but there wasn't really very much editorializing at all.
And Arcand made the point about The Ringer. There wasn't a lot of editorializing in that story either.
It's a lot of text, but not a lot of editorializing.
Yeah, mostly Jaylen's words.
Yeah.
617-779-7937. I promised we'd squeeze in a Red Sox thought here. I do have one, but let's go to Tim in Longmeadow with all your Celtics phone calls. Go ahead, Tim.
Hold on. Hi. Sorry, guys.
So I'm just wondering, how can it be that here we are less than a week from opening day and no Red Sox talk?
Oh, I answer your own question. Why do you think that is, Tim?
That we're less than a week away?
No. Why do you think there's no Red Sox talk? Why do you think? If you had to guess, why is no one talking about the Red Sox?
Oh, because there's nothing really exciting going on.
Because they're boring! They're boring! They're boring! And you know who I blame for that? Ownership. John Henry, you didn't bring back Xander Bogaerts, which I honestly never cared about. I was never one of these, Arcan, you know this. I was never like, gotta keep Bogaerts, have to keep Bogaerts. I think he was completely replaceable. If they sign Aaron Judge and let Bogaerts go, upgrade. So, like, I was not a you have to keep Bogaerts person. But there were a lot of them out there. There were a ton of them out there. Meanwhile, the Red Sox didn't really spend last year. They barely dipped a toenail into the luxury tax last year. They were third in Major League Baseball in profits. This is what I wanted to talk about. Bob Nightingale tweeted this out. I'm kicking myself for missing you sending this, Ryan. Ryan sent this during the show. And it's one of those things in Slack where you got to click the drop-down piece, and I never did.
Yeah, okay, blame Slack.
No, I'm kicking myself. All I saw was the values. I didn't see profits. It was right below it, and I didn't see it. The Red Sox were third in baseball in profits last year. Third!
That's good. They made money.
They made $71.6, let's call it $72 million.
$71.6.
72, John. The Giants made...
round down!
The Giants made 75, 74.9. The Mariners made $84 million last year? Holy crap.
They had that big push towards the end of the season.
Yeah.
Okay. Profits! That's what the Red Sox made. Profits, not what they spent. Profited. And what'd they do with that 71.6 this offseason? They let Bogaerts go. You should be irate. You should be so pissed at this organization and this ownership group that they were third in profits and their spending went down. Their spending went down.
We're not going to bring back JD. We're not going to bring back Nathan Eovaldi, Christian Vasquez. We're not going to offer him.
That's why, like,
everybody walked.
So there were points, sorry, just real quick. There were points last summer and last spring when we got calls that were like, well, you know, all these teams, everybody lost money in COVID and blah, 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 the pandemic. And it's like, no. These guys are printing money again.
They just made it all
back. They're just deciding not to spend it.
And by the way,
they're choosing not to reinvest in the team.
By the way, I bet that number doesn't count Nesson. If I had to guess, I bet that number does not count Nesson. So I bet they made more, is my point. But even if it includes Nesson, whatever, they're third in Major League Baseball.
We spent it on Linda's garden. We're growing broccolinis this year.
When it comes to the Red Sox, why is there no discussion? Why are we not talking about them? They're boring. Because ownership is choosing to pocket the money instead of reinvesting in the team. So they're not investing it in the team, so there's nothing to talk about with the team because they're boring. And again, what's their record in spring training? I was at least willing to give them this. What did they start? I don't remember. 9-0 in spring training?
They're like 9-0, and they tied a couple
games. They're 4-10 in their last 14.
Thank you. I was just about to look it up. I know they're closing in on 500, which is not a good thing. They are now 13-10. They started 9-0, they're 13-10.
Yep.
So, like, even I was going to give them credit for, like, hey, if they light it up in spring training, maybe they're better than I thought.
Well, they lost all their great players to the WBC after all.
Now they're stinking
Kike
it up.
Kike and Verdugo.
Now
and
they're stinking it Yoshida. Up. So did everybody else. Now they're stinking it up in the World Baseball Classic. World Baseball Classic. Spring training, rather. So even that. So, like, why aren't we talking about the Red Sox? They're not interesting. That's why. So if they win some games, maybe. Let's go to Andrew on the tractor. I like that. This guy called the other day. I'm from Vermont, Andrew. I'm from farmland, so go ahead.
Yeah, we're still in here farming, but I'm just saying Dame Lillard is a much better option for the Celtics compared to Zion Williams. You know, you're pretty much comparing the same thing with Zion and Jalen. Like, they're both guys that think they can do more than they really can. You know, everybody wants to be number one when they're already number two, so.
I think it's part of the problem. That's not a problem with Tatum, but I think...
Getting philosophical there at the end.
Okay, but one of the things I like about Lillard is that, don't you think Lillard, and Ryan disagrees with this, I know, don't you think Lillard, I would hope, would appreciate having help and might acquiesce? He's like, look, I've been the number one and I haven't won anything. He's like Garnett. He's like Ray Allen. He's like Paul Pierce before the championship. He's done it. Has he ever been to a Western Conference final?
No.
No.
Second round?
I don't
Second round,
think.
Yeah. Remember, we waved bye to the Clippers.
I thought they made.
I thought they went into the conference final.
I thought
final
so, too. I think they did make a conference final. So, like,
are you thinking in 2019?
I don't know what I'm thinking, but for some reason in my head, I thought they made a Western Conference final.
Portland Trailblazers
I thought like him and like Nurkic and like it was a crappy team, but I thought they made a Western Conference
Finals 2019.
Thank you.
Okay, yep. 2019.
So he is Pierce, and he is Garnett, and he is Ray Allen.
He's happy to share.
He would be happy to sacrifice. Jaylen Brown is saying he's made sacrifices. Is he happy to sacrifice? I like to think Lillard would be happy to sacrifice. I worry that Jaylen, on top of everything else with this team, wants to be a number one. And look, he can be a number one. Maybe he could go to a conference final like Lillard's done as a number one. Maybe. But I think that's what he wants. I think he wants to get paid and be a number one and have his team. That's my fear right now with Jaylen Brown. And I think there's a lot of guys who want to do that. I worry that Tatum wants to win an MVP before a championship. I don't even think it's that different than Tatum. That's what I'm worried about. But Jaylen can't accomplish that here. So that's why Lillard to me makes a lot of sense. I think he would defer to Tatum in some ways, but I also think he would shoulder the leadership that Tatum struggles with.
Yeah, I agree with that point. And if you're talking about the difference between Tatum with Lillard versus Tatum and Brown walks for nothing in free agency, or you're trading Brown preemptively for Zion Williamson, I'm taking the Lillard combination. My number one desire is still to figure out how to make it work with Jaylen Brown here and just keep Jaylen Brown here with Jason Tatum.
Let's go to Jim in the greatest state in the country, Vermont. Go ahead, Jim.
Well, thank you very much. I'm not on a tractor, but I do want to talk about Tatum. The other day you were talking about his leadership, and frankly, I was fortunate enough to grow up with Bill Russell and Dave Cowens and Larry Bird. They willed their teams to championships. They won on guts alone and talent, excuse me. And Tatum doesn't have the guts to be a leader.
So I don't know if he doesn't, but isn't your fear that he doesn't quite have the makeup to win a championship? Like, until he does it, I'm gonna worry about it.
So when it comes to the leadership thing,
I'm not saying as definitively as that caller he doesn't, but like until he's, I would say that about any player in the league. Until you've won, can you win?
He just doesn't have the experience yet. Like I think he's grown a lot as a leader over the last two seasons. Definitely when Ime was here, he grew a lot as a leader, and that's challenging for him. It's just going to be, I wouldn't even say maturity, because I wouldn't say it's like a character issue. It's really just a time in the league, time with different teams, with different kinds of teammates, and with different kinds of coaches.
I think the other fear that Celtics fans don't want to confront is the fear, and this is the only thing we have to go on, is how he looked in the finals last year, because it's the only finals they've ever gone to, is that Jason Tatum's just a choke artist. Like, that's a possibility. I don't think it's realistic necessarily, but we've only seen him in one finals, and he was terrible. And that was his only experience. Like, Ted Williams only played in the playoffs once, I think, and he had bad numbers. World Series once, and yeah, he didn't do anything. And so people say, oh, Williams couldn't hit in the playoffs. Is Tatum going to be that kind of guy? He's great, puts up great numbers, gets to the big moment, and comes up small. There's players throughout history that have been like that.
Ted Williams, Bill Russell, Babe Ruth. We've hit the trifecta here today.
We have.
It's Jones and Mego with Arcan, 617-779-7937. You can
chime in. Before the first robin of spring appears, along comes Ruth in his annual battle with his waistline.
You can
almost 40 and kind of fat.
I mean, not kind of. I mean, let's be honest. You can chime in. We've talked Bruins, Patriots, Celtics, and even Red Sox. A brief Red Sox digression there. Let's get to our three burning questions. Triple play next.
Jones and Mego return after this on WEEI.
It's going to be a triple play.
It's time for the triple play.
Yes, triple play.
The top three burning questions of the day.
And there's three.
With Jones and Mego.
Triples is best. Triples is best.
Triples is best. It's time for the triple play. And since it's Friday, that means it's a fill-in-the-blank Friday. We got three blanks for you to fill. So let's go ahead and start with number one.
Yeah, blanks.
Number one.
All right, we were talking about the Bruins-Canadiens rivalry, or lack thereof. Let's go ahead and name the best rival for the Bruins right now. The Bruins' biggest rival is currently blank. Jones?
Does it even feel like they have one?
That's exactly what I was saying pre-show.
I have to answer the question, I guess. Here's who I'm going to go with, because I just think it would be a good series.
You can say no one. No one's an answer.
No, that's not, though, because that's not really playing the game. I'm tapping out. I'm going to go with the Rangers, and I don't really believe it. But it's Boston, New York. The Rangers loaded up at the deadline. There's obviously history there. I think that would be an interesting series, and I do think there would be a bit of a rivalry feel. I mean, your rival is the Canadiens, and they're down. And they're down bad. So who else feels like a rival to them? They played Carolina last year. How can you have, and they played them a bunch in the playoffs. How can you have a rivalry with Yokel Central Carolina? Like, how can you have a rivalry with that? The Leafs? I don't think so. They stomp on the Leafs. The Lightning? I don't think so. The Lightning stomp on them. Actually, now that I think about it, maybe it's Tampa. Like, because at least you're punching up in that one, and they've won some cups. The Rangers, just with the Boston New York thing, that's the best I can come up with.
Yeah, Tampa's a good one, but I like the Rangers better. And with their additions, it feels like a more high-profile rivalry. So I'm going to ride with the Rangers.
Okay.
I'm surprised neither you said Carolina.
I did. Well, I mentioned Carolina, but it's just
how their chief rival.
How can you have a rival with Carolina?
Because they kicked your ass last year, and I don't know. It's the closest thing they have right now.
And they played them in the conference final in 2019.
They got 100 points right now. They're the second best team in the East.
Well, and here's one thing that I think would happen in a series against Carolina. With the way that is a gritty team that plays with edge. They lost Svechnikov, right? So that's a big loss for them. But that's a team that plays with edge, and that is a team that is, I think, has more grit than the Bruins.
Also,
it's exactly what we were talking about earlier in the show. So I think it's a team you'd grow to hate and really have a rivalry with over the course of 7 games. I'm sticking with the Boston New York thing for now, but maybe the right answer is Tampa.
The Hurricanes, though, is that their fan base seems super insecure. Like the hockey hardos around the Canes
Who was the writer that was going at people in this city a few years ago? There's like a writer down there.
Like, they're really insecure.
Who, like, probably covers NASCAR 95% of the year.
They're
and
like,
then gets
yeah, we know hockey. Just because you're in Boston doesn't mean... It's like, okay, relax.
Right.
It's the Hurricanes.
Right, but except it does. Except it does mean we know more than you. Yes. I mean, Mego and I, for sure. I mean, you want to talk about people who just... I'll just flip on a neutral site hockey game some nights. I'm like, who's on? Islanders and Wild? Hell yeah. I'm locked in.
Got the first period undergoing,
yeah,
too.
Exactly.
Let's go with number two.
Number two.
All right, fill in the blank. The Celtics' biggest rival is currently blank, Megan.
I'm going to say the Warriors. I know they're not playing their best ball this year, but this Celtics team is so obsessed with the Warriors, and it's not just about last year's finals. That's the biggest thing, and all the crap that Draymond talked and trying to pull down Jaylen Brown's shorts on the court and all that silliness that he got into with Grant Williams, who ended up looking like the clown in that debate. But I really feel like the Celtics teams over the last decade have matched up really well with the Warriors. So it's always been interesting between these two franchises. But when you listen to these guys talk after Warriors games, they're like, oh, it's just, you know, another game on schedule, just another game on schedule. It's like, no, it's not. You guys are so obsessed with that.
Well, and go back and look at the schedule. Who broke the Celtics this year? Golden State.
Well, then they did beat them in overtime a month later.
Right, but just the Celtics, there's a pretty clear line of demarcation where the Celtics were flying through the league and then where they stopped. And it was the Warriors broke them again. The Warriors beat them in the finals last year. I did not even consider Golden State. Shame on me, because that's a great answer. I like it better than my answer. My answer is the Bucks. They played the Bucks a lot in the postseason.
Wow, snooze.
They've lost to them. They've beaten them. I mean, they've had many more series
Jones
against them than Golden State. I just said I liked yours better.
Jones is checked out.
Maybe I am losing it.
It's Friday. Jones is checked out.
My answer is the Bucks. And they laid down for that game before the All-Star break that was so pathetic. They, like, laid down. They didn't play anybody. That's going to be a huge potential regular season swing game for where a Game 7 could be between the Celtics and Bucks. I'm answering Milwaukee for biggest rival, but I got to be honest. I like Mego's better. And maybe I am losing my fastball. Maybe I am.
Okay, here's your third fill in the blank.
Number three.
This is a story that's gripped the nation. The Gwyneth Paltrow ski crash trial, which is now entering day three, has been blank. Jones?
I've only read a few headlines, so I'm going to say not very noteworthy for me. It's gripping the nation? That's what it's doing?
It's on, like, all the major network. Like, I see it on the news every night. They're talking about this trial.
Do you watch the news every night?
Well, when I get home, it's on.
It
My
is?
Wife watches the news. I get home, the news is
you,
on.
You watch, like, the 6:30 national news broadcast?
Yes.
I will tell
if
you.
If they're not talking about it on like Chronicle, that. Then I
will
less.
Tell
it's
you.
It's on and I don't change it.
I went through a phase where I watched the NBC Nightly News for like a year straight. I did that. I did that like every night at 6:30.
Never
then
again.
And then I'm like, what am I, 70? I'm like, why am I doing this? But I did go through this like 10 years ago. I went through a stretch where I did that.
Do you want the background? Do you want me to just tell you what's going on?
Well, no, I mean, I understand the background. She injured someone skiing?
Well, that's what the guy claimed. So this was in 2016 at Deer Valley. The guy, Terry Sanderson, he's a
retired
optometrist.
Absolutely screw Deer Valley in every way possible. That place sucks.
Where with Deer Valley?
Where is Deer
totally
Valley?
It's totally overpriced, and you're not allowed to snowboard there.
Where is it?
It's in Utah.
Okay.
It's in Park City.
Yeah, Park City.
Got it.
So anyway, the guy who's 76, he broke four ribs in the crash and is suing Paltrow for like $3 million and saying that she skied into him. Paltrow's countersuing him, saying that he skied into her. So it's a real he said, she said.
He skied, she skied.
Oh, it's a he skied, yeah. She skied. You're right. Classic.
And attorneys for both sides have tried to establish whether Sanderson or Paltrow was the uphill skier, a point of etiquette when skiing that could determine who's at fault.
I mean, look, I'm a ski bunny over here.
Yep.
I'm not going to lie. Like,
you're not bored.
This would interest me if, no, I am. I'm a snowboarder. This would interest me if I was paying attention to it. But the only things I've seen about it is like, look at Gwyneth Paltrow's outfit.
Well, that's what I've seen as well. I've seen
walked into the courtroom in a green turtleneck and brown pants.
Yeah. Honestly, that's most
sunglasses drawn.
And all I do is like, I look at it and I go, her skincare regimen looks way better than mine. And then I just keep scrolling. Like,
well, what's her company called?
Goop.
What does that stand for again?
I don't know.
Isn't it something
I'm
dirty?
Sure, it's something like Gwyneth on.
I know she made a candle that smelled like herself. Remember that?
Yeah. Maybe that's what I'm thinking.
No, there was an egg. That's what you're thinking of.
An egg?
A what?
No, yeah. It's a candle.
It was a wellness egg.
It's a candle.
Google Gwyneth Paltrow egg.
Google, what's the candle? Tell me about the candle again. What is that?
The candle is a candle that replicates the scent of her essence, I guess. I don't know how else to say it.
Her lady parts.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, this, yes.
It's a vagina scented candle, Megan. That's what it is. I'm not kidding. She put it up for sale. And it's true.
And that's triple play?
They're out of stock.
And that's the triple play.
You can get them for $75 if you want to add yourself to a wait list.
Yep.
Anyway, yep. The lesson here is
I've always been on that kind of
wait list. Skiing is dumb.
So, yes, that's $75 for that candle. That's, you know, I mean, some people will pay for it. There you go. That's triple play each and every day at this time. What did you say? Skiing is what?
Skiing is dumb.
Skiing. Oh, you said skiing.
Uphill
is dumb.
Skiing.
I thought Mega was saying something as well.
Uphill skiing? What are you talking about back there?
Who has the higher ground?
That's what you said. Uphill skiing.
Well,
yeah,
uphill
because you're the one who's looking at the skiers below you should chart your course.
In arena fights, it's very important you want the higher ground than in arena fight.
That's right.
You know what I mean? And war. I mean, I think it's all, and skiing. I think it's those three I think we all agree on. By the way, I wanted to tell you that mobile sports betting is here in Massachusetts. And before you place that first bet, you need to check out BetQL. If you have a busted bracket and still want to be in on the action, here's what you do. Follow WEEI at the Odyssey app to unlock 2 free months. That's right. Count them. Two. Of free betting insights from BetQL. Get expert betting trends, modeled best bets, and the public money line movement, which is important, and more. Simply download the Odyssey app, create an account, and follow WEEI to unlock your 2-month free trial of BetQL. We'll get back to your phone calls coming up, 617-779-7937. How are we feeling about the Bruins after last night? Do they have enough edge? Do they have enough grit to do what we want them to do and lift the cup, which I predicted on March 2nd, that they would. We'll get to that with all your phone calls next.